Pigeon War Fever sweeps the United States. News, television, radio, carrying hysterical appeals about the poor, endangered regime of dictator Mobutu in Zaire. Carter has gone all the way. Under emergency powers, he has sent a promised ascending of 1,500 crack airborne forces from the USA, joined in the exploitation and aggression against Zaire, the people of Zaire. It's Belgium, Senegal, renegade China, mainland China, that I will not dignify by calling even nationalistic, communist. They have now come full circle and joined imperialism. Even Voice of America calls it the earmarks of all signs of a new Vietnam. Vietnam began just that small. General Haig, NATO commander, General Haig, stated that he was concerned about the battle readiness of U.S. soldiers because they were on so much dope. He tried to appeal to the American public to not be fearful, as there would be buildup of U.S. forces in Europe also, because of what he said is a new, and we of course know, an imagined Soviet threat. Carter admits he's a liar. President Carter, who had denied vehemently a Washington Post article that accused him of freezing all arms talks because he rejected without compromise, without renegotiation, a Soviet offer to limit the building and deployment of new intercontinental missiles. But when they had information red-handed, Carter was forced to admit that the story was true. Thus, this is the way politics go, U.S. style. General Haig, fascist commander of NATO, says to the American people, don't be concerned, there'll not be many of your soldiers sent. He said 90% of his land forces are made up of Europeans and would continue to be so. But if he beefs it up, of course, the 10% that are USA are going to be increased too. But the American public is probably too apathetic, stupid, and despaired to take note of the incongruity. What was revealed by the Washington Post that caused Carter to have to admit that his administration lied to the American people will not be allowed to continue too much longer. They used a source high in his own administration. Under new laws just upheld by the United States Supreme Court, police, law enforcement, our government have a right to break in and take the files of any newspaper, radio, or television station in the United States. It's an open fascist move. If the police or law enforcement or government feels that newspaper may have files pertinent to a case, relating to a case that they intend to pursue. Of course, it can be set up. It can be an imagined case. Carte blanche, full opening to the media's access of news, thus limiting the right of confidentiality. The high administration source that now is confidential will be revealed under the new U.S. Supreme Court decision, because at any time government, law enforcement can come into any newspaper, television, or radio and seek their personal files, take them as evidence, can take the film from television that's not used. Well, typical of USA, they didn't see the handwriting on the wall. People's Temple will be holding a vigil in front of the federal building on Tuesday in consistency with our demand for liberty and justice, in our open stance against fascism, as we took a stand for the four Fresno Bee. If we were not committed to principle, we certainly could be caught up in bitter feelings about the newspapers. We do not like this overt move of fascist nature against what is left of a so-called free press. It grossly affects the alternate media that is the only free press. But the establishment sellouts are now greatly concerned. Reggie Murphy of the Examiner is ballyhooing and crying about the effect this will have on the newspapers. They've tried so hard, the newspapers, the big monopoly newspapers like Hearst, Rupert Murdoch, to do the will and bidding of the state. As Harper Magazine has said, they are the arm of the military, governmental, industrial bureaucracy, or juggernaut. They are the arm of monopoly capitalism that comes in to beat people around so they'll be hated by the American people after they've been torn down by that vicious arm, and thus make them open target for assassination or governmental attack. Harper's New York Magazine has said that there is no adversary press. There isn't a myth that there's an adversary press anyway. The press has always done the bidding of the state. You can see them changing their whole style now to accommodate the new military adventurism and aggression of renegade mainland China's government and USA monopoly capitalism. Anyway, further news. The same kind of hysteria is being whipped up about Eritrea, where USA and renegade China is attempting to break away Eritrea from Ethiopia. It's telling about the terrible amount of poverty and starvation, when indeed it was caused by U.S. adventure by backing Somalia. And now, while there's a momentary lull in Somalia's invasion of the Ogaden, Ethiopian territory, the United States says they can reconsider giving arms under President Carter's still broad-ranging emergency powers if a nation is not committing aggression, even though they have committed aggression, are planning to commit an aggression or an attack on another independent sovereign nation. During that lull, he can give further military aid, and is doing so this Monday morning. The military situation is dark and ominous. The plight of freedom in USA is also equally ominous. We're grateful for the news that came to us yesterday from our people who heard the Prime Minister speak. Prime Minister Burnham spoke up a kind of friendly relationship. He sparked up a relationship with Kay Nelson in laughing over the regional director of the district who promised just to give him an introduction and gave him a long-winded, unrelated speech. So he ran over and became friendly with Kay Nelson and Lee Ingram. He would have continued to talk endlessly, though there were several hundred waiting to talk to him. He gave an appeal to the support of the new Constitution, the referendum, which I have read during the night, because I am up all night. It guarantees trade union developments, trade union benefits. It guarantees the foundation of a socialist economic system. It guarantees the right to work and the right to leisure. It guarantees senior pension and permanent disability for those who are injured at their job. It guarantees absolutely free socialized medical services. All citizens will have the right to free medical attention in cases of any illness or disability. The Republic, state, the government of Guyana socioeconomic organizations, and the people as a whole will work consistently together to create the material conditions to enable the full realization of this right in the coming year. Right to housing is guaranteed. Right to education from cradle through university. Equality of women. The old Constitution did not give that guarantee. Equality of children born out of wedlock will have the same rights as children born in wedlock, a very new and progressive feature. Protection and commitment to overseas citizens, duty to protect public socialist property, duty to defend the country from foreign adversaries, abolition of all discriminatory distinctions. The government will seek to eliminate discriminatory distinctions between classes, between town and country, and between mental and physical labor. That's a communist measure. The government will seek to develop a socialist culture out of the many cultural strains which now enrich its society. Fundamental rights and freedoms are out in the existing Constitution, set out in the existing Constitution, will be absolutely retained intact and added to in terms of their protection. The right to life, the right to personal liberty, protection from slavery and forced labor, protection from inhuman treatment, protection from deprivation of property, protection against arbitrary search or entry, the right to a fair hearing in court, freedom of conscience, including freedom of religious beliefs, freedom of expression, freedom of assembly and association, including the right to form or belong to political parties of any sort and trade unions that recommend socialism, freedom of movement, protection from discrimination on grounds of race, place of origin, political opinions, color or creed, and the right to enforce them, these fundamental rights, by application to the courts for redress. Citizenship laws are increased, enhanced, and broadened. The citizenship provisions of the existing Constitution will be given the following improvements. For the purpose of acquiring Guyanese citizenship, privileges will be given to Commonwealth citizens only on a basis of strict reciprocity and that the Commonwealth nations do not practice racism in any form. That's a slap at England for its racism and calling for the expelling of all black people from that country. So Phil Blakey should get his citizenship right away. B. The husband of a Guyanese wife will, through her, have the same privilege of applying for Guyanese citizenship, which is now enjoyed by the wife of a Guyanese husband. Also, the child of a Guyanese mother will have the same privilege of applying for Guyanese citizenship, which is now enjoyed by the child of a Guyanese father. The elimination of chauvinism. But there are many other rights, the right to veto an assent. The president will have the right to veto a bill passed by the National Assembly if he exercises the right. The bill will be sent back to the National Assembly, which could thereafter bring it into force if it passes by a special majority. The president will have the right to send messages to the National Assembly and to address it on special occasions. Prime Minister's duties, Cabinet Minister, the parliamentary freedoms remain ostensibly the same. Amendments to the Constitution are provisions of the Constitution, which are of an ordinary importance, may be amended by bills supported by the votes of a majority of all elected members of the National Assembly. Amendments also, any other provision of the Constitution of Guyana may be amended by a bill if it is passed by the votes of a majority of all the elected members of the National Assembly, and later approved by a majority of the electors who vote at a referendum on it. A referendum could but need not be held if the bill is supported by 2/3 of the elected members of the Assembly. A referendum will, however, always be required if it is proposed to amend certain sensitive provisions as to the Bill of Rights of the Constitution, such as those relating to rights of the people, the name of the state, territory of the state, the principle that sovereignty derives from the people, the principle that land must go to the tiller, the principle of equality for women, the principle of equality for children, whether born in or out of wedlock, the principle that laws should only be made by the elected members of the National Assembly, and any other provision which may be identified in the course of further preparatory work as being sufficiently important to warrant treatment by referendum procedure. The courts will continue to be free and independent without any interference from government. The Judicial Service Commission will be retained to see that there's fairness in courts. The fact that Prime Minister Burnham was coming to visit us, had his helicopter blade not broken, would have given the highest sanction and already shows the intentions of the Prime Minister towards us. Also, we were courted by the Colonel, who's one of the chief attachés of the Venezuelan embassy. He came over to our people, spoke up spontaneous conversations of praise, speaking how Deputy Prime Minister Dr. Ptolemy Reed, who is also the head of the People's National Congress, the chairman, had nothing but praise for us. He was very anxious for us to know that Venezuela was also a beautiful country, which sort of made us laugh, as if he were courting us, in case Venezuela would ever seek this part of their territory. He was very friendly and very praiseworthy of our lifestyle and very interested in coming to visit. So it seems that we, sitting on mineral wealth and oil wealth, are quite actively sought in friendship these days. We're in the best place we could be in the world, on disputed territory, where Venezuela will not invade because they have to go through U.S. citizens, where Guyana strategically needs us, and the Prime Minister seems to have inherent goodwill and friendship. He was coming. We know that by the commander of the Air Force that was flying his plane. He also said the GDF would be letting us know anytime a plane came in, the Guyana Defense Forces, Air Force, anytime a plane came in, we would have the privilege of using it, any extra seats or any extra cargo space free of charge. And we needed that desperately because our costs are prohibitive. Yesterday, Dr. Green, Hamilton Green, said that no one dare interfere with our medical program in this district. He had the sole right and the only right to determine whether our people would practice medicine, and he was firmly behind us in our right to practice medicine here or in Kaituma. He was working all day. We have not heard any further reports, as he's getting ready to take a vacation out of the country, or rather a high-level summit conference of health, education, and welfare conference of all third world nations, and he was going to have the matter, he said, resolved before he left. We have our school. Our school has been official, legally advertised in the Gazette, which makes it now that we are our own independent school, officially. We will keep you posted of good and bad news alike. Channel 2 in Los Angeles continues in its tirade, Tim Stone orchestrating attack on us, now is more visible for supposedly being enemies of certain practices in the United States. It is awesome that they try to portray us as enemies of the people of the United States, instead of the horrible, horrible, oppressive, monopoly, capitalist government of the United States, and the fascist practices and racist practices in the United States. They wanted to discuss the question of cancer. Our own attorney stepped forward with a document verifying Marsland's healing. They said, yes, he certainly can heal cancer, and here's bona fide proof. Here's visible proof that Jim Jones can heal cancer. Now, if they print it all, we're going to be making certain appeals to them that they're interested in never doing any further coverage of us, that they'll have to. That was the one way we got in the praise of Dr. Moore about this beautiful project, the Methodist Superintendent, on Channel 2. There seems to be a conspiracy between the Channel 2s of Los Angeles and San Francisco. We'll be making notification of that today. Other news has it. racist attacks. Gadsden plans protest. A federal grand jury's refusal to indict policemen, to include the entire police department in the murder of several black men in Gadsden, Alabama, has provoked the anger of the local black community. The grand jury announced last week that it would not indict any of the police force officers involved in the murders because of an alleged lack of evidence pointing to their illegal involvement in the murder. First murder occurred on January 20, the death of a 27-year-old Carlos Maderin. And then there's a Jack Madden killed on the 27th of January. And it goes on and on. We feel that his bullet-ridden body, which was shot 15 times, was evidence enough and incensed. R.B. Cotton Reader told the news. Cotton Reader, a field officer for the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, said we plan to escalate and intensify non-violent protest around the issue that a man has a right to live, and we'll try to block people in Gadsden, Alabama, from being shot down in cold blood, as they have been repeatedly this year, by the police, and the killers being permitted to go scot-free. Cotton Reader added that the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, the one founded by Dr. Martin Luther King, would initiate picketing of Gadsden businesses and would be encouraging black people to keep their money in their pockets. Beginning in June, Gadsden residents will apply whatever nonviolent direct action tactics necessary to impress upon the people responsible for letting the killers loose that we are thoroughly dissatisfied with this decision. Cotton Reader said the Southern Christian Leadership Conference has sponsored a number of protests against the killings, including a march of over 2,000 people. However, not one word of this appeared in any U.S. media. We had to pick it up through the socialist press. That's the way things work in USA, fascist style, 1978. A man's home is still his castle, and in it he reigns as lord and master over the wife and kids. Sounds a little old-fashioned for the 1970s, doesn't it? But the notion of equality in the home has yet to reach the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court decided to let stand a state law in Alabama and in Louisiana, to name two of several, calling the husband head and master, and allowing him to make all decisions about property shared with his wife. Racism, chauvinism, classism, elitism, sexism, and ageism is upheld every day by the U.S. imperialist finance capitalism. The most horrendous insight of the news, that China is sending forces into Zaire. Even the BBC said Zaire is rocking and reeling. Its citizens are protesting and resisting in every corner of the nation. Even in the entire northeast section, far, far removed from Shaba province, elements of Katangans and other citizens of Zaire joined in revolutionary assistance to the almost liquidated forces of the brave Katangans in Shaba province that had been bombed back into the Stone Ages and driven all the way through Zambia into Angola. The Ian Smith dread fascist sellout regime, along with Bishop Muzuela, who's gone back into the fold in spite of the elimination of all blacks from high-level government post in this so-called transitional government, is attacking Zambia for abducting children into the resistance of the Patriotic Front. The Patriotic Front is now being housed in Zambia. President Kwanda came by Guyana a week ago for an emergency session with Prime Minister Burnham, who has always been committed strongly to black third world liberation. Also, Prime Minister Kaunda of Zambia is intensely committed, as he has allowed the forces of Joshua Nkoma to to be actually located and housed inside Zambian territory, where they cannot face reprisals by the dreaded secret police of the Rhodesian capitalist, fascist, racist pig, Ian Smith. It is there that U.S. money has been poured, CIA assistance, U.S. aid assistance, even indirectly by military officers who have tortured to such an insane degree. We have Sabiko, great hero of the people, who was tortured by U.S. Major and Colonel. They had his little daughter beaten until she was not even aware of what she was doing, hardly. She was just 5 years old. And they had her put a wire around his gonads after he'd been beaten senselessly. And she was forced to pull on it until the sharp edges cut off his scrotum or balls, gonad. And they let him lay a torturous existence for 3 days until he died. This Obliko was his name, rather. Not, we get them sometimes mixed up with Steve Biko in South Africa. It was there that 175 students were killed. It's there that all Rhodesians must be in their concentration camp reserves by sundown, or shot down by the fascist army that is illegally imposed itself upon the Rhodesian, or what we proudly call Zimbabwean, people. Ian Smith was an illegal regime to begin with. He broke away from the Commonwealth, from England, when the Zimbabweans were demanding their independence over 10 years ago, and he formed an illegal government. And now three black leading religious leaders have formed a conspiracy in the Uncle Tom fashion to support that interim transitional government. Now Bishop Muzuewa is again good Uncle Tom, house nigger, for calling for actions against, world actions, U.S. actions against the Zambians for abducting little children. Sounds like the tirade against People's Temple for abducting little children from Zambia to help fight in the Patriotic Front. It is a lie, utterly denied. Rape victims on trial again. The trauma of rape can result in long-lasting psychological scars for the victim. The only thing worse women feel is the trauma of appearing at the trial of the rapist, facing the attacker again, recounting the details of the attack, and withstanding hostile questions from defense attorneys seeking to damage the credibility of the woman. Now, a Washington, D.C. Superior Court judge must decide whether to compel two such victims to appear in court again for the retrial of the man already convicted of assaulting them, but the jury declined to accept their truth about his rape against them. At hearings before Judge Harold Green, psychiatric profiles presented of two women raped in 1972 showed that both are still suffering emotionally from the experience. These files were given May 18. Prosecuting attorney Raymond Banoon in Washington, D.C., argued that they cannot bear the stress of appearing in court again and urged that he be allowed to present transcripts of their earlier testimony instead. The accused rapist, Morris Warren, was found guilty in 1973 of raping at least 14 women in a series of assaults. The conviction was overturned in 1976. However, when an appeals court ruled that Warren, a white man from a middle-class family, was improperly tried with a co-defendant rather than separately, his conviction was overturned. Warren's lawyers argued that their client has the right to confront his accusers at his trial. One of the four women has since died of a drug overdose. Another cannot be located, and to force the remaining victims to testify again would cause extreme and serious damage to their health, Banoon said. Judge Green must now decide whether the two women can be considered medically unavailable to testify because of their emotional injuries, or whether the damage to their mental health is no greater than for any other rape victim, as defense attorneys contend. It is the consensus of the news report that the judge will allow the defendant his right to have the accusers, the women that were raped, come back to court again. Now, if he were black, not a middle-class white man, it wouldn't be this problem. They're always convicted one time round. Discrimination suits. Delta stewardess lose. Stewardesses lose. Federal appeals court in Louisiana last month set a potentially damaging precedent for women, charging employers with discrimination. The court refused to consider a maternity leave policy contested by flight attendants at Delta Airlines because Delta employed no male flight attendants when the maternity leave at issue was taken. 13 Delta stewardesses had brought the discrimination suit after they found the airlines would only grant seniority for the first 3 months of a pregnancy leave. Federal District Judge Charles Moyer had ruled in favor of the flight attendants, but was reversed on the appeal. Plaintiffs suffered a discrimination, but it was based on pregnancy and not sex, the Federal Appeals Court ruled. What kind of injustice? The May 29 decision may hamper similar suits brought by women in sexually segregated jobs, such as secretaries and nurses. If other courts choose to dodge the discrimination question by pointing to the absence of a comparable class of men at the same job. USA is pushing strongly banning of all handguns by saying that poll after poll, which are controlled and manipulated by the establishment, the ruling class, the elitist of monopoly capitalism, but they say their polls reveal that 78% of the American public want all guns in the homes to be banned. And some 93% want the handgun to be banned immediately. The whipping up of frenzy by U.S. capitalism and its obedient servant, the U.S. press, is constantly seen. Constantly seen. When will the people ever learn? It seems a bit late, particularly now that another police state measure has passed the Supreme Court, allowing all the files of news media to be seized by any law enforcement or governmental agency. Rapists convicted. Three men were convicted of rape in France last week in an important victory for the women's movement there. It was the first time in French legal history that the rape victims appeared in a criminal court. The case involved the beating and rape of two Belgian women on a camping trip near Marseille in 1974. The trial was a national focus of attention with large women's demonstrations publicizing the case and forcing the courts to act. Local male supremacists vehemently opposed the case in France, threatening and attacking women journalists, lawyers, and spectators at the trial. The rapist defense typified the anti-woman bias of French justice that has become increasingly imperialist. As you know, the French forces are now fighting for their good master, U.S. imperialism, as embodied in the Trilateral Commission. They're fighting, sending their legionnaires to stop the liberation of Chad, to stop the liberation in Zaire. Everywhere we see this. Several black nations have spoken out against the injustice of U.S. imperialism and backing the French in the Sahara, in West Sahara, and also the Spanish oppression there. The Organization for African Unity, made up of better than 60% of all African nations, have forthrightly condemned U.S. intervention in Zaire to support a bloody dictatorship. The Office of African Unity calls the intervention of U.S. soldiers, 1,500, and her imperialist allies, or Axis, to be caused because there are such mineral riches that USA wants to keep under its capitalist monopoly control in what used to be called Belgium Congo and is now called the puppet regime of Zaire under the dictator Mobutu. Anyway, the rapist defense typified the anti-woman bias in French imperialism and the general right-wing trends in France today. The defendants admitted committing the attack but maintained that since the victims had finally yielded, the men were innocent of rape. Defense lawyers also inferred that the women were to blame? Because they are lesbians, and frequently complained that the women's movement was interfering with justice by making a major issue out of the case. Prior to this case, charges against rapists have generally been reduced to a misdemeanor charge of assault and battery, with hearings held behind closed doors. Japan, USA. Japanese, Prime Minister Fukuda, F-U-K-U-D-A, is in Washington. Japanese Prime Minister Takeo Fukuda was in Washington for talks with President Jimmy Carter, attempting to smooth over some of the economic tensions between the two capitalist powers, as there are major tensions between the Euro-capitalist, the Common Market, EEC, and the Japanese capitalists and USA capitalists over a trade war. None of them want to lower their tariff sufficiently to really maintain capitalist economic balance. All want an undue advantage to be able to export more things than they have to buy or import. The biggest problem has been Japan's enormous trade surplus with the United States. Fukuda, Prime Minister of Japan, once again promised that the surplus would be reduced by increasing Japan's growth rate and increasing imports and by restraining exports of such items as ships, automobiles, steel, and television sets. No specific figure was set for the surplus reduction. However, and Prime Minister of Japan stressed that his promises were dependent on USA monopoly capitalist measures to counter inflation and the decline of the dollar. The dollar is in disrepute all over the world. In other international talks, meanwhile, Soviet President Leonid Brezhnev met with West German Chancellor Helmut Schmidt in Bonn to discuss arms reduction in Europe, reportedly making no progress, and economic cooperation between the Soviet Union and West Germany, which was relatively small breakthrough in that area, as war tensions hang over Europe again, too, like the sword of Damocles. Europe, conservative union formed. Europe's most powerful right-wing fascist parties last month formed the European Democratic Union, EDU, a bloc intended to promote greater strategic unity in such areas as planning for the 1979 parliamentary elections of the European Economic Community, the EEC. The EDU was started at the initiative of the British Conservative Party. Other members include the French Neo-Gaullist Party and the Allied Christian Democratic Union, a fascist party, and the Christian Social Union of West Germany, a fascist party, and parties from smaller EEC and non-EEC European countries. The rightist policies of the new group are evidenced by its failure to include the Christian Democratic Parties of Italy. Contrary to all the revisionist and communist apologists, the Red Brigade has not caused a rightward swing, but in fact a moderate swing. The Christian Democratic Party, corrupt fascist monopoly capitalist party of Italy, will not participate in this international effort to bring fascism back to Europe. Holland or Belgium, three conservative parties whose domestic credibility would be damaged if they associated with the once more blatantly reactionary parties since Adolf Hitler of the EDU. In particular, the anti-union positions taken by the British conservatives are an embarrassment to conservative parties that govern with the support of or in coalition with social democratic sellout reformist communists such as in Belgium, or revisionist parties such as the so-called Communist Party of Italy. It's a total revisionist party. Nonetheless, the EDU's founders hope to eventually win these parties to what they hope will strengthen fascist reaction throughout Europe. Among the new union's first aims is the development of a common attitude towards Euro-communism, one of resistance and defiance in spite of Euro-communism's revisionism and attempt to please. The mood in USA is shifting from total disinterest in Africa to willingness, 57% of the poll shows, to send troops into Africa to protect USA's citizens. The big lie is that there are lots of U.S. citizens there that are doing business, little modest businesses, and so that's going to be the appeal. You can hardly say you're going to clear over to Zaire in the center, in the heart of Africa, to protect the frontiers of USA, which has become openly imperialist. Micronesia strikes slaps at colonialism. Strike at the Continental Hotel in Palau, Micronesia, has developed into a key battle in South Pacific struggle against U.S. colonialism. The Strzok Hotel is owned by Continental Airlines, the U.S.-based multinational fascist corporation that also operates Air Micronesia, the inter-island airline. Continental reportedly has strong ties with the CIA. That's been known for years. Begun December 10, the walkout by 37 women and 7 men has attracted growing support, for they're still out today in this June of 1978. It's drawn growing support from the emerging workers' movement and from the pro-independence forces throughout the islands, scattered across the South Pacific. The islands lie in the west, vast U.S.-controlled trust territory, where people live in virtual serfdom of Micronesia. M-I-C-R-O-N-E-S-I-A. Look it up. A plebiscite on independence is scheduled for next month. We've been here for centuries, Nigaroluni Rekube, the union vice chairman told a Continental vice president shortly after the strike began. We have our land, we can fish and grow our own crops, and keep on picketing this damn hotel forever. We can wait you out because you need us more than we need you. Reknebe continued, we want to control our own free society, not have you U.S. foreign capitals dominate and control us. Organized into the Palau Continental Hotel Employees Association, the workers are resisting the extreme exploitation. Micronesians and all trust areas held by USA suffer under U.S. trusteeship. This gives you some insight of the news, both good and bad. The biggest concern, the gravest concern, is China and USA invasion of Zaire, along with their puppets of Belgium, France, Senegal, and Morocco. Keep the production up. Much love. People's Rally tonight. People's Rally at 7:30. People's Rally at 7:30. Let's all have good production reports to show our concern to liberate our people, which we now need to liberate more than ever. Attention. Be sure that you are prepared for testing tonight in People's Rally at 7:30. This Sunday night, 7:30, all must be prepared for testing. Bring papers and pencil. All day, you should study Marxist concepts, socialist concepts on library tapes, and review the news for testing. This is important. We will be postponing in the future. Our People's Rallies, for the time being, will be coming on Monday and Fridays to try to alter any time schedule that we might have where we would be located in the pavilion according to the last defector who could predict our comings and goings. We had an excellent class under Stephen. People who had been in the military said, like Tim Carter, that he never had such training, even though he was in the Marines and boot camp. We learned self-defensive measures. We learned how to kill racist or aggressive fascist enemy. We had great discussions on how to protect ourselves from what we have ascertained will be a conspiratorial move in the field of mercenaries by Stone's own statements, by the fact of who we know through our intelligence that he's meeting with, a person that's in aerial reconnaissance, an Uncle Tom sellout, Colonel Coleman. Anyone knowing anything about the Robert Coleman may, as I said, report it to the radio room. It'll probably be a small force, but USA is spread too thin in trying to carry out her expansionist aggression against Central Africa and in the Horn of Africa. Unlikely that it will have any mortar or bazooka fire, because they would not want the reputation for killing innocent women and children.